Thanks, Ian, and good evening. Good evening. I've got a question for you all, and Nick is going to put it up on the screen. Here it is. Now, isn't that a difficult question to answer when there's dozens of you? Because by definition, a question like that really only makes sense if you ask it to one person. If I say to all of you, how are you? You're going to say, But if you ask it one by one, then obviously we can respond in accordance with our circumstances. I remember when I was young, a considerable time ago, I was in a youth group, and we had a leader. I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but he had this wonderful greeting when he used to meet him at church and other places. He used to say, hello, how are you? All right? And it went just like that. And we used to actually practice this together so that when we met before the meetings, we would say, hello, how are you? All right? And I thought it would be good if we practiced that tonight. So just turn to somebody near you. Just have a go. Hello, how are you? All right? It's good, isn't it? And of course, that greeting didn't really give you the chance to say, things are pretty bad, you know. It just assumed everything was fine, and it never really got deep into any of the circumstances in which we were living. But it was friendly enough. It was a starter for 10, I suppose. But we talk tonight, again, in our series, around this word circumstances. The word itself comes from the Latin. If you're a scholar, you will know that circa means round, circles, things like that. And stare means to stand. So circumstances are the things that stand around us. Now, they can limit us, they can hem us in, but sometimes we're going to find tonight that we can push at the circumstances and maybe make them change. But that's circumstances. A great mix of things. I've put a few, just stacked them all together. Opportunities, education, choices, you know. Things that we've planned for will be part of our circumstances. Things that we never imagined would happen can be part of our circumstances. They can be things that hem us in and limit us. They can be things that release us and inspire us. A great mixture. And I think one of the important things we're going to learn tonight together is that circumstances are not just negative. We sometimes seem to say, oh, well, I'm all right under the circumstances, or I'm okay despite the circumstances, as if that was the limitation within which we have to live our lives. But actually, our circumstances can be brilliant. They can be great. They can be things for which we thank God. I had some circumstances back in my same sort of time as I was taking the mickey out of my youth leader. My ambition at that time, I was absolutely clear at the age of 11 or 12. I'd read Reach for the Sky a million times. I knew all about Douglas Bader. And if you don't know Reach for the Sky, Douglas Bader, you're looking blank. He's the fantastic guy who crashed an aeroplane and lost his legs and ended up being a fighter pilot. Remember the story? Anyway, I learned it by heart, and I was going to do nothing else with my life but fly jets for the RAF. That was absolutely it. And that was my life plan, no problem at all. One particular weekend, we went as a family to Manchester Airport, where they had a viewing gallery. And you could go up on the top of the viewing gallery and watch the planes coming in and landing and manoeuvring around. And it was obvious during that afternoon that everybody was reading the names on the side of the aeroplanes and the big numbers on the fins of the aeroplanes. And after a while, I said, I can't read those. I can see the planes just about, but I can't read British Overseas Airways Corporation, as it was then, or the numbers. And so when we got home, I was marched off to the opticians, and we found that I was pretty short-sighted. So that my career as a fast jet pilot in the RAF came to a grinding halt very quickly. Circumstances actually got a hold of me and cut off some of my options in a very real way. And I had to rethink the things that I was excited about and the things that I fancied doing in the future. And you may find that things have happened like that to you. There may have been things that have happened to you that you didn't see coming, but it's closed an avenue that you otherwise thought was open. Circumstances, the things that surround us and shape our lives. I wonder what are the things that have happened to you. I wonder if we asked each other individually, how are you? What's happened to you? How's life? I wonder if you would pick one of these words. I wonder if you are, in the circumstances, succeeding or surviving or struggling or sinking. Because there's probably within that range of things, we'll find each one of us succeeding, surviving, struggling, or just sinking. And what we're looking at tonight is how God would love us to handle the infinitely varied circumstances of each of our lives. We've looked at different people in our series. We've looked at Joseph, looked at Ruth, Jonah, Daniel, and tonight we look at Paul. Saint Paul of the New Testament, an amazing man, an extraordinary life. Just a few brief facts about Paul, because we haven't got time to do a massive biography. I wish we had. But he was born in about 5 AD, so quite a contemporary of Jesus. He was unusually both a Roman citizen and a Pharisee. And we'll come back to that in a moment, because he was a Roman citizen and yet a theologian in the church of his day. He was converted miraculously, age about 30, we think, in AD 35. Remember the story of him on the Damascus Road? He spent the next 30 years of his life working unceasingly to establish churches. And in that process, he went through all sorts of painful experiences, ultimately ended up being executed by the Emperor Nero in Rome in about AD 65. And Paul is particularly known for his missionary journeys. He was the one who in the early days was commanded by God to take this wonderful good news, not just to the Jewish race, but out to the Gentiles. And he went with various friends and colleagues on these amazing journeys out into the Middle East and Greece and around the Mediterranean. And he experienced all sorts of circumstances in the course of that life of his, things that just happened to him. And again, we haven't got time tonight to go through it all, but can I recommend to you this? It takes just about 2 hours to read the book of Acts. And if you are happy at some stage to invest 2 hours of your life, you could read through the story of the early church. And you can see right up to the point in Acts chapter 9 where Paul is converted. And from that moment, the whole book is virtually about him and the journeys he went on and the things that he did to establish the church of Jesus Christ in a world that had never heard of it before. Paul shows us again and again how a child of God deals with circumstances. And what I've done is just pick on, at random almost, Acts chapter 16. And we're going to work through tonight some of the things that happened to Paul in Acts chapter 16. That was during his second missionary journey. So we're talking about AD 50. Paul is round about 45 or so. And we find that Paul and Silas, and I'm sorry this is so small, but you have to have it this size to get the whole picture of the journey from start to finish. But they are in a place called Derbe. D-E-R-B-E, and I have it on good authority that it's pronounced Derb, not Derby, because there's no indication he ever made it to the Midlands. But Derb is the place where Paul and Silas find themselves spreading the word of God during the second journey. Here's the map. And Paul and Silas are planning to go into Asia, top right-hand corner of that map. But then the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit forbade them. We have no idea what that was. Something that God said either directly to Paul or something that happened in the course of their journey. But it was clear that God was not leading them into Asia. So instead they said, let's go to Bithynia. You might just be able to see Bithynia, top right-hand corner. That's where he was planning to go. But yet again, the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you in Bithynia. Circumstances had changed again. And then Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia. You can see Macedonia, top left-hand corner. And he has a vision of a man saying, come over and help us. And so Paul and Silas have to yet again adapt their plans to these changed circumstances. And they travel to the coastal town of Troas. And they get on a boat and they go across to Macedonia. And they journey to a town called Philippi. And one of the things that happens there is that a lady called Lydia, who is a businesswoman, she's converted. So that's where we are in the story so far of Acts 16. I wonder how well do we react to changes of circumstance? I wonder how well we react to circumstances that change, job changes, redundancy, the arrival of a child, some family problems that you never foresaw, or a windfall from great Auntie Agatha. What do these things, how do you respond to things that come in and potentially change your lives? They might knock us off course, or they might open up whole new horizons. Are these things that we are in the habit of bringing to God and working through with God so that he can help us make sense of this and make sense of changes in our circumstances? Paul and Silas find themselves in Philippi. And they're speaking the word of God. They're performing miracles, but in a way we haven't got time to talk about, they upset a whole load of local business people. And the business people call in the magistrates, and Paul and Silas are somehow in dead trouble as strangers. And the magistrates order them to be stripped and beaten. And that really is a serious beating up with rods. And Paul got to know that sort of punishment only too well. And they were thrown into jail. So another change of circumstances, and this time you might think pretty bad circumstances. What's their response? Their response is that they're sitting there at night in the jail and they pray and they sing. Fantastically positive response to circumstances that are pretty bad. And it must have been really pretty bad singing, I think, because it results in a local earthquake and the doors of the prison fly open. And then what do they do in those changed circumstances? They have a choice. They can either scarper while they've got the chance, or they can stay. And Paul and Silas decide to stay. And as a result, the jailer and his whole family become Christians. Next morning, the magistrates send word to the prison. They can go. Let them go. But Paul goes back to one of his very early sort of foundational circumstances. He's a Roman citizen. Just a minute, what bearing does that circumstance have on where I am at the moment? So he says, hang on, is that it? Is that what you do to people around here? You just pick them up, strip them, give them a good beating and throw them into jail. And then the next morning you say, off you go. And then he gives them the killer punch because he says, and as a matter of interest, is it legal round here for people to beat up and imprison Roman citizens? And everyone says, what? What? And the magistrates are absolutely terrified. Paul says, if they want us out of here, tell them to come down and tell us themselves. So the magistrates are all in a panic because they think they're going to be in terrible trouble having beaten up a Roman citizen. And they all come hot foot down to the prison. And they apologize to Paul and Silas and say, we're terribly sorry this has happened. And if it's all right with you, you might like to leave the prison. And they do that. Can you imagine their status in that town of Philippi? It says before they left, they were able to encourage the believers. Bet they were. Because those believers have started to see the power of God at work in the lives of those two men. But Paul's used his circumstances. He's reacted to bad circumstances in that prison by praying and singing and giving God glory come what may. But he's also able to intelligently use the birthright that God gave him as a Roman citizen. So there are circumstances that we can use for the glory of God, as well as the ones that we have to live under. We don't need to ignore our natural gifts and abilities. We don't need to be ashamed of having positions of influence, because we can use things like that for God. Circumstances are not all bad. But we step away from Acts 16... just to say a couple of other things about Paul. Other parts of the New Testament tell us that Paul is not actually a well man. Sources outside the Bible described him as short and bandy-legged. And you know, there's a clue there in bandy-legged, because that was a common trait of people who had undergone serious floggings. In those days, when people were flogged, it was life-threatening. And Paul tells us in one of his epistles that he endured that three times. And this little bandy-legged guy is walking around, may well be as a result of the sort of treatment he's endured. But he also had some sort of persistent pain or disability. He writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." What a response to the circumstance of illness. And perhaps tonight, as you sit here, either you or those close to you have physical or mental disabilities and weaknesses in our lives that we feel are just constant frustrations and limitations. The things I would do if I didn't have this. And yet, Paul was able to say, the things I have just demonstrate time and time and time again that it's not me. It's the power of God. What a wonderful truth to be able to apply to our own lives. And another thing that we learn from Paul's letters is this. He's not afraid to ask for help. One of the ways in which he responds to circumstances is being prepared to accept help from other people. He writes later on, some years later, to that church in Philippi that he helped to found, "I praise God for your concern for me. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news. And when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once." You see, sometimes responding well to circumstances involves being humble enough to ask for and to accept help. If we struggle and struggle and struggle and insist on our independence, we don't give other people the chance to bless us. We don't give God sometimes the chance to bring into our lives the things that other people can bring. It's great, isn't it, that we're starting our CAP center. But you know, CAP only works because people reach the point where they're rock bottom financially and are prepared to ask someone to come and help. Alcoholics Anonymous, the same thing. You need to start off by saying, "I'm an alcoholic and I need help." And so sometimes in our weaknesses, we need to be ready to let other people help us. How do we sum up Paul's approach? There's numerous instances of him responding to circumstances if you spend that 2 hours in the book of Acts. But words like these, he's always positive. He's intelligent. He knows how to use circumstances. He's resilient. He bounces back. If you read the stories of these journeys, they go to a place, we get thrown out of town. We go to the next place. We go there, we get stoned. We get thrown out and we go to the next place. Then we get stoned and we get left for dead. We have to go all the way back to the beginning. And you know what we do? We go back again to the same places. The same places as we got stoned and imprisoned and knocked about the first time. We go and give it another go. He's so resilient. He's humble. He's humble because he wants to give the glory to God and let people help him. He's appreciative of help. And constantly, he's giving glory to God through everything that happens to him. The sorts of things he writes are these. And let me just give you a few snippets from his 13 epistles. "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong." Romans 3. "More than that," he says, "we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. Paul sees all these grotty things that happen to us as being just a stepping stone to something greater. You have hardships, they're going to produce endurance. If you're enduring difficult times, that's going to produce character. Character produces hope. Everything is positive, it's moving forward. He's thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, but don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, in every circumstance, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If things are rocky and rough, Ian talked this morning about how we bring exactly those things to God in prayer, in the name of Jesus. And Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And do you know, if you want to just sum up in a wonderful way Paul's approach to circumstances, here it is in Philippians chapter 4. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Paul had plenty, came from a rich family. He knows it all. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul has learned the secret of circumstances. And we can summarize it like this. I think this is really the kernel of what's worth taking away tonight. If you want to make a note of anything, it's this. We cannot always choose our circumstances, but we can learn to choose how we respond to them. And I think it's fascinating that Paul uses the word, I've learned. He doesn't just say, because I'm a Christian, I know exactly how to deal with circumstances. Paul says, I've learned in all these circumstances how to give God the glory. And it's a learning process for us too. We won't get it right first time, but we can ask God to help us understand things clearly, and then we start to learn how to respond. Is there a good and a less good way to respond to everything? I think there probably is, you know. Let's just have a look at a couple of circumstances. How about being rich? What's a bad way to respond to being rich? We can let ourselves be selfish, self-satisfied, greedy for more, worldly. Rich people can easily become like that. Rich Christians can easily become like that. Or are we able to be thankful and generous and open-hearted and creative and facilitate great things with the things that God has given us? Like our pledges for this youth worker. Isn't it brilliant that we can say to each other, let's challenge ourselves as a not desperately poor congregation, let's be honest. But let's challenge those of us who can afford it to make this youth worker a reality. Or turn the thing on its head. What if your circumstances are poor? There is a bad way to respond to being poor. We can be resentful. We can be independent. We don't have to ask for anyone's help. We can just be hopeless. We can just exist in a downward, downward, downward spiral and never call on the strength of God to help us out. We can be poor and carry on being poor. Or we can respond to being poor by being willing to accept help, by being trusting, by being patient, by being generous with the small amount we do have. So I think we can apply that to all the different headings we might give. Let's put a few more up. What if we talked about, I'm healthy? I can respond to that in a bad way by being thoughtless, ungrateful, spending all my time at the gym and not bothering about anybody. Or I can actually be thankful to God for the health I have, being caring for others, spending my time using my health and my strength for others. If I'm sick, I can be resentful and hopeless, or I can be trusting and enduring. If I'm talented, I can be conceited and self-satisfied, or I can use my talents to be servant-hearted. I've been badly treated in all sorts of different ways. I can learn to choose whether to be angry and bitter, or I can learn the very, very hard business of being ready to forgive and move on. I'm disappointed. Disappointed with my exam results. Disappointed with my relationships. I'm just ready to give up. That's one response. The other response is I'm ready to start again. I'm ready to have another go at this. And what about being old? What about being old? Ready to peg out, all right? Just looking forward to pegging out. Or am I looking for new challenges? I wish I'd had the time, because I only got the link this afternoon. But Andy Cross, I think it was, sent round a fantastic YouTube link of a lady in her 70s playing the saxophone. Wow, she is brilliant. We'll have to put it up one afternoon. But she's going for it there in a church playing saxophone. Absolutely great. She's not resigned to being old. She's having a great time. And it all comes back to Philippians 4. Learning to find the way to respond to our circumstances. I wonder how we're doing. Are we succeeding, surviving, struggling, or sinking? Before we just move on and do something together, I'd like to just read you from Savannah's wonderful prayer letter. Because Savannah is much loved by this congregation. She was one of our singers, and she's gone recently to spend 3 years on an OM mission ship as it takes news and books around the world. And Savannah has gone off incredibly excited and has been allocated to work in the pantry. And I don't think this was top on her list of jobs I was desperate to get to do, but listen to what this lovely young woman of God says. This is my main ministry. Serving in the pantry. I clean the floors, wash the dishes, wipe the tables, serve the food, fill the coffee, keep the dining room looking great. It's taken 3 months, and I still have very long, bad days. But I'm learning that it's all about my attitude. I can be working in the best department in the ship or in the worst department, and both of them are the pantry. I'm choosing to focus on the blessings that come with the job and trust that God is using me for his glory in ways that I don't always see. Do you know, Paul would have been proud to write that. That's great. And what I thought we might do as we close this message this evening is to give ourselves a chance individually, just in the quiet and privately, to do a little bit of an audit of our circumstances. The team are going to, Danny and the team are just going to come and give these out, if you would now. Some pens and a little sheet of paper. And on the left-hand side it says, these are the things that, Lord, I thank you for. And I pray that you'll help me to use them for your glory and be thankful. And on the other side are the things that we're struggling with. Let's list those and ask God to come and renew our attitude to them and help us to be his person in the midst of even the sticky ones. So, Andy, do you want to come and play us some music or be quiet, whichever you fancy? But we're just going to hand these out. We've done them deliberately on a piece of card, and they're blank on the outside, so that when you've written in them, if you want to keep those, fold those over, pop them in your Bible, you might just like to keep them handy or to update them. But it's just like a little audit of circumstances. But should we prayerfully do this for a few minutes as we close this message tonight?